Good afternoon and welcome to a special broadcast of KXCV KRNW Sports. Today is the first day for high school seniors to sign national letters of intent to play college football at their chosen schools. Along with Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey, and for the next hour, we'll be talking with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell, about this year's recruiting class. And Adam Dorrell, before we talk about the recruiting class, an unfortunate situation over the weekend with the loss of one of your players. You might want to talk a little bit about that.
Thanks, John. First off, I want to thank everybody. We've had tremendous support, like you would expect from our, you know, fans. Our administrative staff here, our faculty have just been awesome. The community's been great, and it's been a little bit overwhelming at times, but it's nice to know you've got a lot of support there. I've had multiple MIAA teams reach out to us, head coaches, and just coaches across the state of Missouri, high school, college, and Shepherd University. I could go right down the list. So it's been good. We're in the process of working with Nick's, family and trying to figure out some things that we're going to continue to do to honor him moving forward. And, I know one of the things that we've already decided is the D-line will take turns wearing number 52, next year. I know that was, as parents, thought that was a great idea, and I know our defensive line did too. And we're still in the process of, figuring some of that stuff out. But he'll be missed immensely. He was a great teammate. He was very loyal to Northwest Missouri State, a very hardworking young man, tenacious. He's a great cook. He's kind of legendary for that. He's known for cheesecake, and he loved kids, and that's the one thing I think people are starting to get to see from him, you the other side other than football, I'm glad they're seeing that because he had so many great characteristics.
I know talking with a couple of players about Nick Turner, that just his positive attitude that he brought to the team in everything that he did.
He did. He was. We use that word energy giver. He was an energy giver every day, whether it was in the weight room, whether it was downstairs on the ping pong table. Whether it was on the practice field, I have to – the kids kind of – we've been in a series of team meetings, but, some of the young guys, the freshman guys, I'm sitting there looking at them and they laugh. But, dude, I'm serious. I was scared for your life every time that you were on a scout special team because we always had to tell Nick to – back it down a little bit when we were out on the special teams realm. He was he enjoyed the physical violence of football. He really really enjoyed that part of it.
This really brings out all we talk all the time about family in this program and all that, and it really shows in a time like this.
It does. It does, Matt. It's just I feel blessed. I've said that often. I feel like I. Myself and our staff, we always have great support here at Northwest Missouri State, and fortunate to have the job I have. But I told my wife that last night. When something like this happens, makes me feel even better to be surrounded by people that care so much about our kids. Not just myself and our coaches. There's so many people on this campus that care about our kids, faculty and staff, and it's good to be at a place like this when something like this happens.
News of this came out Sunday during the celebration, and I thought one thing that was about this, everyone was together at the time where they were able to hear the news at the same time.
Yeah, it was hard, John. I'm glad they were. My biggest fear immediately was, I just get a little frustrated with social media and stuff nowadays, and my biggest fear is with our kids we're going to, catch wind of it via social media, and I didn't want that to happen. And so, I was glad we were together. We were able to talk and find out a few more details within an hour, and I was just thankful that a lot of those young men, their families were here happen to be here, and I know it's great to have mom and dad around when something like that happens.
One thing that was kind of neat, you did mention social media in one sense, you know, there was that fear there, but then afterwards, once the news was out, I mean, you look on social media and all the tributes that came out, it was neat to read through some of that stuff.
Yeah, it was. It's always amazing to me when you get everybody else's take on Nick, and you hear bits and pieces of things you didn't know about his life. You know, because for us, he was still relatively young in his playing career, and you know, you were getting to, like the rest of those guys, it's you learn something new about him each month, each week. You know, you get to know him as much as you can. That's one of the biggest challenges as a football coach. I've always thought, compared to like a basketball coach that has 12 kids, and Coach Mack and I talk about that a lot. You know, when you have 138 kids, it's, I mean, literally, you'll learn something new about a kid each and every day, and that's what makes it fun.
Well, you'll be bringing in 27 players right now into the Bearcat program as part of this recruiting class, with today being the day that they can sign the National Letters of Intent. And first of all, let's just talk just overall as a group of what this group will be for you.
Well, we're extremely excited, John, about this group. Let me first start off by saying very thankful for our coaching staff. I thought our coaching staff did a phenomenal job of recruiting quality student athletes, again, quality men. You know, our guys do our homework. You know, people always ask, well, what's the secret to your success? Well, yeah, we have great athletes here, but we also have great kids that are good athletes. So it was great to see our coaches get out working really hard, getting kids on campus. You know, they were able to do that. But that's the first thing. Is the other aspect of that is, you know, I think the casual fan doesn't understand how hard it is to recruit quality student athletes. You know, it's funny, in the last week or so, I've had people stop me, well, I bet it makes it really easy to recruit with winning a national championship. And I wish I could tell you it does, but it certainly doesn't hurt. But that's not the only thing that goes into recruiting. So, you know, I want to thank our coaching staff. I want to thank all our support staff, Marshall, Lori. Lori gets a little bit overwhelmed. We try to stay out of her office as much as we can. I always send somebody else in there this time of year. But we thank Lori for everything she does, because it's a lot of work on her part with the paperwork. You know, and then Joe and Kelly, they're so important when we get kids on campus. You know, Joe's numbers, you know, our football numbers speak for themselves. Joe's numbers speak for themselves downstairs as far as what he can show a young man, what he's probably going to be when he starts, and the average on when he's going to leave, you know, his gains on bench, hang, clean, squat. So it's great. Kelly, you know, she's very compassionate, and that really comes off to mom and dads. And when you're going to drop your kid off at school somewhere, you want to know they're going to be cared for. And so Waldire, Jeremy up in the admissions staff, does great. Charles Mayfield, working with him, and then just all our people. Matt Jasinski, with everything he does with all our recruiting videos, you know, that's huge. We get so much great feedback about that. But yeah, John, it was a great class from top to bottom. You know, pretty defensive heavy, and that's just kind of where we're at in our program right now as far as the number of kids per position, and it's based on their age on kind of how we figure all that. But thought we met all our needs. Thought we, you know, from top to bottom, if we're evaluating properly, in which, again, I think we do a good job of evaluating, we feel like we hit a home run again this year. And so we're extremely, extremely excited about that. I've got a lot of versatile kids, a lot of kids with growth potential, chance to grow and get bigger, stronger. I felt like our team speed was great. Feel like we continue to use Florida the way we need to use Florida, and right now, and it's great. And, you know, honestly, guys, we lost a couple kids here in the last 72 hours, but you know what? We lost kids to – we literally lost one kid to a Division I school, not an FCS school, a Division I school, and then we lost a couple kids late to top 20 FCS schools. You know, both of them were in the playoffs. You know, so that's the caliber. And so most people get mad about stuff like that, and our coaches do. You know, I got to kind of talk them off the ledge. I'm like, listen, take a deep breath, because you just lost a kid to a Division I football program. That speaks to the kind of kid we think we're recruiting around here right now, and we're excited about that. And I'm I'm really excited about it too.
When you do lose somebody to a big program like that, do you kind of keep an outside eye on them? Because a lot of times you'll see guys, they, for whatever reason,
sure,
may not just like where they end up.
Yeah, you do, Matt. The thing that you can't do in this profession, and I remind our coaching staff this all the time, and we've got quality people that work up here. The thing you can't do in this profession, especially in recruiting, you can't get emotional about recruiting, and I never do. And, you know, let me start with, I think so many guys in this profession worry about the guys that they don't get. I'm not worried about the guys I don't get. I'm worried about the guys I get. You know, the guys that we may not get, I may have to play them once, maybe twice a year. You know, I'm focused on these 28 kids that I have. And you don't get emotional in recruiting, because when you get emotional in recruiting, you got a chance to upset the high school coach, upset the family, and you don't ever want to do that, because bounce backs, kids – you know, if something doesn't work out for them there, then you hope that Northwest Missouri State's going to be their first thing that pops into their head, saying, "Man, I'm going to give those guys a call." And you would be shocked how many calls we get every year right after spring football. You would be shocked with. I'm not talking about 5 to 10 foot phone calls. I'm talking about 50 to 60
wow
foot phone calls from. Again, I'm not talking about kids looking to go D2 to D2. I'm looking about kids from trying to drop down, you know. And so, and again, that speaks to our coaching staff. They do things the right way.
What are some of the selling points that you feel like the athletes look at when they come in and make the decision to come to Northwest?
Well, every kid's different, John, and so you try to ascertain that really quickly in the recruiting process. But the type of kids that we're looking for, we want great students. And – we really will, you know, you start putting the big board together and we've got, okay, let's put a list of corner here. And, you know, this kid's a field corner and this kid's a boundary corner. Well, let's look at our 5 boundary corners. Well, the top 2, you know, have good ACTs, good GPAs. You look at their school attendance, which is on the transcript. And then you look at the bottom 3 and, you know, one of them's missed 10 days of school in his first year. I mean, you know, those things to us are red flags right there. Talk to the teacher, no, consistently late to school, bam, we will not mess with those kids at all. We really won't. So academics is really big to us. We want to see a kid that, and it doesn't have to be a 4.0 student. What we want to see is improvement in his 4 years in high school. We want to see his attendance be, if not perfect, close to perfect. We want his guidance counselor, not just his coach, we want his guidance counselor or a teacher in the high school to sign off on him to say, that's a quality young man. Not the best student I have, but by God, he gives us everything he's got. Those are the type of kids we want. So we start there. At some point in time, I'd say with probably the 90% of the kids you recruit, 90% of them, academics are going to play a big part in it, okay, because mom and dad are involved too. So even if the kid, that ain't his top thing, mom and dad are going to be like, I need to know about academics. That's number one. Number two is facilities. You know, right now with the generation we're recruiting, facilities, the bling, I guess you could say, is huge in recruiting right now. And so, you know, that's why it's important that, you know, we keep moving forward in that aspect. But that's a big one. Tradition, guys wanting to go somewhere and have a chance to win, you know, that's big. Position coaches are big. You know, again, there's a little bit different there in other sports. They've got to feel comfortable with me as a head coach. Mom and dad have to, and that's important. But it's as equally as important as that young man's going to feel. He's got to feel connected with his position coach because he's going to spend so much time to him. Strength and conditioning, like I talked about, to know that kid's going to be able to come through and do that stuff. So those are probably the biggest factors.
Coach, we got a lot of guys to get through.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. I caught your nonverbal cue when you looked at your watch over there.
Well, let's get started with it.
Let's roll.
We'll go alphabetically here. Braxton Anderson, the first on the list, a 6'1", 175-pound safety out of Omaha Westside.
Yeah, great student, versatile, long-rangey kid. Had some injuries mid-career, and so we feel like he's not even close to being topped out. You know, he can play safety, but he's athletic enough he could potentially play corner too. Great ball skills, and he's going to be a great teammate. Good smile.
As far as looking at the offensive line for another recruit here, 6'3", 310-pounder, and Gabriel Bouts.
Yeah, John, you keep saying those names because we're going to come up to a few of them here in a little bit. So
I've got some pronunciation already here. So.
Gabriel, call him. He's going to be great at our guard spot, very thick. You know, this kid's a 400-pound bencher right now coming out of high school, which is unheard of. But he's going to be great on our power play, pulling. We pull our guards a lot, being able to fit up through the hole. We call it the hog in the hole. He's going to be a good one fitting up and through there. Tough kid, you know, big hands, used to play in a cold climate. And, you know, we think we got us a good one there.
Another safety, Blake Bear, 6'6", 180-pound, Albia, Iowa.
Yes, very versatile kid. He's done some good stuff in the track realm. Very good student again. This is a kid, we're going to look at him. We have to get our hands on him to see if he's going to be a strong safety or a free safety. But toughness, a great special teams player in high school. That was one of the things that stood out to us too, and from a good high school football program.
Bringing in Taylor Bame, a 6'2", a 210-pounder, a linebacker out of Lee Summit.
Yeah, Tyler Bame, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, excited about Tyler. You know, he comes from a great football family. His brother's just finishing up at Mizzou, will probably be a draft pick guy. And dad's was a high school football coach there that's retired. I looked at – he was here for his visit. I said, you know, how are you retiring? He looks about my age, so he was laughed about that. But we're excited for Tyler. He's a kid that can played most of his career at safety, but gets kicked down to level two. We're going to start him. He's really – long kid. We're going to put weight and strength on him, and most likely he's going to be a rover. But, you know, Chad thinks he could be a rover, Buck, or Mike. I'll say it again. I can say it here on the next kid. We, you know, if you look at the number of coaches' kids that we've had come through this program, we've had really good success with coaches' kids. So I'm excited about Tyler.
And the next one that you're talking about, a name that longtime Bearcat fans are going to recognize, the Bouchard name is coming back with Fred's son, Faisal, 5'7", 160-pound. Now, he's listed as an athlete, so my guess is he can play a lot of places, but you're not sure yet?
Yeah, same. Let me start with Fred. Same thing. He's decided he's going to retire too, so I don't know. I don't know what the theme was this year. But we're excited about Faisal. He played running back, and just in their system, it was their way of getting him the football. But this is a young man that we're going to start off by putting him in the slot, doing all our jet package stuff with our run-pass option stuff. He's very, very, very good in space. You know, Faisal had a very significant injury this year that might have kept some other folks from recruiting him. But, you know, we're excited about him. Same thing, just a phenomenal student too and very well-spoken young man.
The next player you looked at from Illinois, Jacksonville, Illinois, with Joe Brandon, a 6'2", 200-pound quarterback.
Yeah, excited about Joe. Truly a dual-threat young man. He can run. He can throw it. He's played on some really good teams down there. He's a good basketball player. Very heady kid. Again, you know, he's around that Mendoza line of a 4.0, and so he's just a quality kid, high competitor. And what I love about Joe is, you know, Joe, we recruited Joe hard immediately, and it wasn't 2 days after the national championship game. We called and offered him, and he canceled every other one of his visits and just said, I know where I want to be. I want a chance to play for a national championship. So we're excited about Joe and everything he's going to bring to our program.
Another guy out of Nebraska, linebacker Brody Buck, 6'1", 215-pounds, kid that's been recognized both on-field and academically for what he's done.
Yes, a phenomenal student-athlete. The thing that really stands out to me about him is he's tough. He's just – you look at the kid – you know what I mean? You just kind of look at him, and you can tell he's been in a few scraps in his days. So he's one of those kids. His toughness on that football program is kind of legendary up there, and he's a kid that Chad feels real strongly about. We get him in here, get our hands on him, and you know, he's got a chance to be a good one.
We've got a number from a Nebraska right in a row here. Look at Ron Jewell out of Lincoln, Nebraska, and he's coming in as a safety, a 6 foot, 185-pounder.
Yeah, same thing with Ron, John. The thing that we love about these kids right now is, like I've said it a couple times, but, you know, Ron, after you get him in here and you look at him and you get his testing stuff, he's a kid that I know he can play safety, but, man, with that length, we really like that length and wingspan at corner. So, you know, we just got to get him in here. Brandon's got to look at him. Bradham's got to watch him backpedal, break on a football. That's kind of our determination on is he going to play safety or corner. But we felt like this was we couldn't miss on this kid, and so we're excited about Ron.
The next guy from Nebraska, but it's darn near Wyoming.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
my
right.
old stomping grounds here. Mm-hmm. Scottsbluff, Nebraska. Austin Clarkson, 6'6", 280, an offensive lineman. From what I understand, mom went to school here, if what I heard
yeah,
is
mom,
right.
Yeah, so. Mom went to school here and played volleyball here, and so that, I think, kind of opened got us a foot in the door a little bit. Again, you know, Austin's a kid that had multiple Division I offers, and, you know, we kept selling him to the fact to play for a championship, be part of a tradition-rich football program, and I think at the end of the day that was the thing that kind of weighed him over. He was here on his visit. Zach Flott, for you guys that know Zach, is huge. And when Austin was standing next to him, Coach Wright tapped me, and I turned around. You know, it's every O-line coach's dream. I was just, this dude is massive, you know, and he's long. And so, you know, we got to get him in here. And for a kid who's 6'6", he does play with good pad level. But we got to get him in here and get him rolling in the weight room. And, you know, he'd tell you that. He needs the weight room, stop playing basketball and doing all that stuff. But we're excited about his potential. Good kid, too.
Now, earlier you talked about Florida and able to go in and get some athletes that you've been looking at in Florida. You've got one here out of Tampa, Florida, with Dante Felix Glover, a defensive back.
Yes, tough, good-looking kid, man. Speed, you know, that's the thing that I think of when I think of Dante. He runs extremely well. He's got great ball skills. You know, when you look at safeties, you got to quantify them as, you know, they're physical hard hitters, and this kid does a good job of supporting the run, but this kid right here has got phenomenal ball skills. His ability to go up and get PBs, pass breakups, and intercept passes, and so we're excited about him and what he's going to bring to our program.
Next guy, Matthew Frankenbach, got him listed as a linebacker. He's out of Palmyra, Missouri. Played some defensive line. Where do you see the switch there, moving him back?
You know, I'm not sure yet. You know, we like everything that he's doing, but he's a kid that right now we're going to start off on the offensive line. He's a kid that could be – that's really a misprint. Sorry, that's why you threw me for a loop just for a second. I'm like, wait a minute. He's a kid that could play defensive line, offensive line. But, again, I feel with him, he's a young man that for what we do, he's going to be able to step in there and play at our guard position. Very, very tough kid, very hard-nosed kid, and he's going to be a great puller. You see him on film, man, the way he chases the football, his hustle. And again, I'll go back to say, you know, you look at the kids that we've had in our program from Palmyra, they're just tough. You know, I don't know what it is over there. I don't know what they put in the water, but those kids they know how to fight, you know. They don't back down from anybody, and so we're excited about him and the toughness he's going to bring to our football program.
Let's go back to Lincoln, Nebraska. You have a defensive back coming in, Audrey Gilbert, who has also been a team captain on that team, so it looks like he'll bring in some leadership skills as well.
Yeah, it does. You know, obviously he played with Ron. Again, he's a kid. When we got both those kids here on campus, we looked at him and just were like, they just were good-looking young men, you know, very lean, very raw. Big upside, but again, with this young man, we just feel like we couldn't miss. You know, he was. That's the one thing that kept coming up: great leader, hard worker, attention to detail, and you know, we just feel like we've got a chance to have a very special young man there.
Next kid, Chance Hall, 6 foot, 170-pound defensive back out of Omaha. And what kind of sticks out here when you talked about trying to get character kids recognized by the Boys and Girls Clubs as a Youth of the Year? So right there shows what you're talking
about. Yeah, if you've got that, he's a team captain. Again, if you look at his dimensions, we've really tried to get, you know, football nowadays and what we do defensively, we play so much man coverage. And we like to free the safeties up to get down there and help so people can't run the ball. You know, everybody tries to combat that by putting those long receivers outside. And so it's great to get, you know, big, rangy, long guys. And Chances definitely fits that mold. Again, good ball skills. His wingspan, I can't remember what it was, but it was off the charts for a guy who's 6 foot. His wingspan was just phenomenal. So we're excited about what he's going to bring to us.
Another guy looks like he's got a little bit of size and perhaps a little bit of a wingspan. You got a 6'4 player coming in at defensive end, Tommy Highland, a 230-pounder out of Lombard, Illinois.
Yeah, very excited about Tommy. He's grew up in a big family, you know. He's used to having to fight at the dinner table for food. And so he's a good-looking dude, man. He walks in the door. He looks the part. Very broad shoulders, very long. But what's exciting, as Rich would tell you, I mean, as good as looking dude as he is now, you know, we know there's a lot of growth there for the weight room. And Rich is excited about him. He's going to start him off at either stud end or open-sided end. You know, he needs a little time to get his hands on him and work on him with him a little bit. But good pass rusher for a high school kid. And so, you know, but his girth, you say, well, you could play him on the tight end or you could put him over there. So we're excited about him because we think he's a dynamic athlete and, again, going to be a great teammate.
Jaden Kowalski, a 6'4", 220-pound quarterback out of Bellevue, Nebraska, a guy that's been recognized as a player of the year in the state of Nebraska.
Yeah, we, again, with Jaden, immediately in the recruiting process, you know, with Chad, Chad walked in one day and just said, listen, I feel like this kid wants to be here. And so, you know, we early offered Jaden immediately then, and he committed and accepted. So we were super excited. I got really excited because a couple things. He works at Dick's Sporting Goods, so I'm trying to see if I can get onto that friends and family discount if I go up there. And then I started looking at his Facebook page, and he's dressed in camouflage, and he's running around hunting and fishing, and, you know, I'm just like, that dude's going to fit in real well here, you know. And so we're excited about Jay. And, again, he comes from a dynamic family, and his high school football coach, that's the thing. His high school football coach is just like, I'm telling you. This kid's the guy. So we're excited about him. He's obviously, you can see, he's a very big kid. He throws the ball remarkably well for a high school kid. He gets the ball out of his hand on time. He understands protection. But don't let his size deceive you. He can run, too. They didn't ask him to do it a lot because he didn't need to, and his runs were more of when the pocket broke down compared to Joe. Joe had a lot more designed runs. So we're excited about Jaden, and he's a great leader, and we're excited to have him in our program.
I know you look at an awful lot about the individual skills he'll bring to a program, but the next one we look at also had a lot of team success with Grant Martin coming in, a 6'2", 180-pound wide receiver out of Omaha North, who's coming off a pair of state championships in his career.
Yeah, okay, so here we go, Dad, another coach's kid. Oh, but Larry's not retiring. Larry's still going to put a few more years up there. No, we're excited. Omaha North, that's the a great high school football program. If you don't know, Coach Scott Bostwick would tell you now that's the home of Scott Bostwick, the Bostwick family. So he would be excited to have him in our program. Again, coach's kid. He reminds you a lot right now, just a comparison of on our team, George Seal. Really tall, rangy young man, runs extremely good routes. What I love about this kid is he has just as many highlights of him blocking as he does catching. And that sold me. I was like, that's our type of dude, you know. He's unselfish, and, again, I go back to he's a coach's kid, and he understands football, and he understands team concepts. So we're excited about Grant.
Got a couple of kids right from the immediate area. One of those, the next one on the list here, Shelby McMillan, the 6'2", 230-pound defensive end from right over in Stanbury.
Yeah, we're excited about Shelby. You know, for years we've had a very good relationship with Stanbury. You know, it goes back to when, Dan was there and Coach Collins, Dan Collins, and now Shane. And Shelby's dad helps coach. And so we've known these guys. I went to college with Shane. Known these guys a long time. They've been very loyal to Northwest Missouri State. And so, you know, Shelby, last year was when I really noticed him. He really filled out. And then, you know, this year he came to camp. And, you know, by the way, he had 30 ACT kid. And, you know, you start looking at him, and again, coach's kid, you know, and understands the game of football, and he's very passionate, and, you know, he's excited to be at Northwest Missouri State. He's wanted for a long time to play football at Northwest Missouri State. And so anytime you get a kid that grew up in this area, you know, that knows what our program's about. Those are the kids that he has a really good chance to succeed here because he's passionate about Northwest Missouri State.
Well, the next one, we'll go back to Florida this time, Miami, Florida, a 5'11", 160-pound defensive back in Jarrett Miles.
Yeah, you know, the only problem we had with Jarrett when he was here, it was like negative 50. I promptly set him down and explained to him, listen, Jarrett, this – it's unseasonably cool for Maryville this time of the year. The wind never blows. And he kind of laughed, but a great young man. Got a late ACT score. Great student, but he didn't take the ACT score till late. So I think that knocked a lot of people off his radar, you know. People were probably inquiring about him. But Coach Clayton, you know, just stayed patient through the process and kept in contact with him. And we got that ACT score back there in early December, and he had a great – I mean, he's a great, great student too. And so the thing I'll just tell you point blank, it's just – it's not – I mean, this kid can flat run, and he can flat change directions. And for what we do, we just think he's got a chance. Good kid too. You'll have fun getting to know him.
Next guy on the list, Jake Noel, a 6'2", 260-pound defensive tackle out of Sioux City, Iowa.
Yeah, he looks like Brandon Yost's twin. I mean, he's thick.
That's
I mean,
not a bad
no,
thing.
No, it is not. It's a great thing. We're excited about him. He's going to play either nose tackle or defensive tackle. He's a plugger inside, uses his hands really well. But, again, his toughness, like, you know, up in his neck of the woods up there in Sioux City, his toughness is kind of legendary, and played at a great high school football program, knows how to win, and that's what he kept saying, I want to win. And so we're excited about him.
Well, another player coming from a program that wins an awful lot, Dustin Piper, a 6'2", 260-pound defensive tackle coming right here from Maryville.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy to me. Maryville keeps putting out these great athletes. You know, I look back to when I was coming out of there, it wasn't great athletes coming out of there. And so to see all these guys coming out of there right now, that includes their current high school coach over there too. I won't use his name. I don't think I can. But we're excited about Dustin. Dustin's a young man. We're going to start at defensive end, but he's very, again, for 6'2", 260, has a very long wingspan. You know, if we have to, we can kick him down to play the B gap. So we felt immediately he was a can't miss on this kid. For us, having this kid in camp 2 years back-to-back, you know, I saw him go up against kids from Kansas City that are signing at Big Ten and Big 12 today, and I saw this kid not back down an inch and get after him, to be quite honest. So we're excited about Dustin. Again, he's a kid that is passionate about Northwest and wanted to be here early. So he was actually our first commitment, so I was excited about that.
Another guy, you have a lot of All-State performers on this list. Here you got a two-time All-Stater, Sam Roberts, 6'5", 260, DN from Waynesville.
Oof. Again, long, rangy. This young man hadn't even come close to tapping his potential. That's what we're excited about. He's got tremendous upside. We're going to start him at defensive end. Again, he's very athletic, great natural pass rusher. But here's a guy – guys, that he could get up to 285, and you may have to kick him inside. But we're excited about Sam and what he brings, and very well-spoken young man, and just got huge, huge upside.
Next guy I think's got a great name for an offensive lineman, a Trenton Roller, a 6'4", 265-pounder out of Buckner, Missouri, in Fort Osage High School.
Yeah, it's been good. You know, Joel did a really good job of recruiting Trenton. You know, his high school coach, Ryan, he's a Northwest alum. And Ryan actually played baseball here, and he's had a heck of a coaching career down there. But, again, Trenton's one of those kids, immediately you look at him and you go, you know, he just fits our profile. Start talking to him about things he liked to do, you know, same thing. You know, he's a big outdoor guy, and, you know, I know he was here Sunday at our celebration. So he's already trying to, you know, immerse himself into our culture, and mom and dad, man, great people. And, you know, they're just excited. They just kept talking about we want to be part of that family, and I think Trenton's got a chance to be a good one here. We're going to start him at tackle, and I think he's got a chance to be a good one.
Next guy on the list, a running back, Deron Rozelle, 6'2", 219, out of Hogan Prep in Kansas City.
Yeah, Deron, here's the deal with this guy. We honestly got onto him late, guys. He was a kid we evaluated on film. We looked at him, called him, told him he was going to have to walk on here. Coach Anderson went and saw him in person and said, yeah, we might want to rethink that. And then we got him up to campus, and he's just a prototypical. He played running back there. We're going to play him at our H-back spot in that wing. He traps. You see him do all that stuff on film. You don't see many of the old, what you'd call the old eye fullbacks anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's really what he was. So we're going to put him at the wing. He's very good with the ball in his hand. But what he reminded us immediately of is his physique is Jordan Grove. I mean, he looks just like Jordan Grove. And so height, wingspan, thickness, toughness. And this kid is a – out of all the kids we're talking about, this is probably one of the best special teams kids that we have. He played on every special team, so we're excited about Duran.
Go back to Bellevue, Nebraska this time. Another defensive end, a 6'3", 225-pounder, Spencer Sidzik.
Yeah, you know, teammates of Kowalski, the quarterback, really high-motor kid, again, could be a stud end or could potentially be that open-sided end. And we're excited about him and everything he brings. A lot of upside. Again, that's the one thing I keep going back with those guys, a lot of upside with him.
Next name, another one people are going to recognize, 5'9", 165-pound wide receiver out of Huntsville, Texas, Alex Tatum.
Yeah, it's – I don't know. It was – that one was kind of hard for me this year. I don't know why. You know, I talked a little bit about, you know, Charlie Pugh last year and his son being here, but – you know, Alec, that was special for me when he told me he was coming. You know, I've got a special relationship with his father, and his dad, you know, did a lot for me, has done a lot for me in my career and got me started. And, you know, his dad, I told him this, his dad always believed in me. And so I wasn't sure about Alec, though, to be honest with you. You know, he had an offer to Sam Houston State to play and stay right there. And, you know, it was one of those things. He wanted to go away to school, and we were a good fit for him. You know, Grandma and Grandpa live here. He's got aunts and uncles that live here, and he's got cousins here in town. And he's just one of those things. He's a very, very, very good football player. He's a phenomenal punt return guy. He's the holder. Got great hand-eye coordination. All those spot screens, those little darts and bubbles that we run, this is going to be right up his alley. And then, you know, you talk to his coach, and, you know, he's got that basically named the hardest working team on their player, you know, and that's good high school football for 2 years in a row, I think says a lot about him. So we're really excited about Alec, and I'm glad he's coming back home, because he's technically a townie. He was born here in Maryville, and so I had to explain that to him. He didn't understand the whole T deal. I don't think he's too hip on that yet. So we'll have to see if we can get some of the guys get Forney with him and explain it a little bit.
It's just hard to believe that he's that age right now.
I know. Thanks, play. John, for making me feel old. But yeah, it does.
And up next, another defensive back out of Florida. You've had a lot of success with some defensive backs there out of Largo, Florida. Taj Taylor, a 6-foot, 180-pounder, and a defensive back.
Yeah, Taj wins the award for having his NLI turned in the latest this year. He forgot to have mom sign it before he went to school today. So, anyway, we just got it in here. But we're excited about Taj. He's a kid. Again, you look at him, see his dimensions. He's got very good ball skills, good feet. Feel like he's going to be a natural corner for what we do. We saw him on film play bump and run, and you know, that's what we do a lot of. So I know Brandon was really excited about that, and we're excited about him. And again, another very good student.
Next guy, another offensive lineman, this one out of Council Bluffs, Cade Theobald, a 6'4", 255-pounder.
Yeah, Cade is a very interesting young man, because if you look through the list, a lot of these kids, you know, played a lot early. Cade's one of those guys, to tell you, he was on a team. He really didn't start playing until his junior year. And so he's really grown late in his life, and he finally got on the field as a junior and played okay as a junior. But, man, he had a great senior season. So the kids like him, he could kind of be a, you know, a wild card, kind of an ace in the hole type guy that could be a diamond in the rough, just because he didn't have a lot of high school film. He wasn't highly recruited. But I sat down with him and talked to him for 30 minutes. This kid has a very – very high football IQ, and that's when I just said, hey, factoring everything in, he's not tapped out yet. He's got a good football IQ. We decided to offer him, and he accepted.
The next player, another guy that's on the academic side has done very well, being academic all-conference three times from Dodge City, Kansas, and Dodge City High School. Noah Williams, a 6'5", 220-pound defensive end.
Yeah, we're excited about Noah. You know, you talked about factors there. His mother was here with him, and she's very, very sharp young lady. She's a doctor. And so, I mean, I know his academic appointment played a huge role. She felt confident to send him away to Northwest because his academic needs were going to get met. Plays at a really good high school football program. You can see him, tall and rangy. But, I mean, this is another kid that Joe's going to put 35, 40 pounds on. And high motor kid, runs to the football. And we're very excited about Noah and everything he's going to bring.
You talked a lot about coaches' kids on this list.
Yeah.
How important is it, even when they're not a coach's kid, but just having relationships with coaches, knowing the program, knowing how those coaches have taught these guys how to play football and whether or not they're going to fit in with your program?
It helps. It really helps, Matt, and it's something that you have to cultivate, that relationship, and it's not easy. You know, it's not easy. Unfortunately, you always have a couple of hard phone calls every year with coaches, and the thing – but the thing we won't do here is we won't ever lie to a kid. We won't ever lie to a parent. We won't ever lie to a coach. And, you know, we're very forthcoming, and we just don't believe in deceiving people. We believe being very upfront with them immediately about where we see this process at. And, you know, what I've found is you might have some initial anger, you know, I can't believe you're not offering that kid. But what we found in the end is there's a lot more respect at the end, because – after they calm down a little bit, and you can't get emotional in recruiting, because when you start doing that, people get upset. And when people get upset, you make bad decisions and people say things that they shouldn't say. So it's important to cultivate that relationship so you can be just brutally honest in a tactful way, but to talk to those kids. Because when you are honest with the coach and you're that, you know, blunt, then you get it right back. And that's great, because the coach knows what we're about, knows what we want, and, you know, he's more apt to answer your questions in a real in-depth perspective.
Now these student athletes have signed that letter of intent to play at Northwest. From now until they arrive on campus late summer and early fall here, what are some of the things that you do to keep in contact with them and things that you want to see them do between now and then?
Yeah, starting next week, we'll send them out Joe Quinlan's workout, and he has some YouTube stuff we'll give them access to that shows them lifts, and he explains things. Other than that, we really just encourage them to stay competitive in their winter sport, whether it's wrestling or basketball. Take that a step further. We always encourage them to spend their last summer with their high school buddies, because everybody starts branching off. But we'll get a chance to see them and meet with them when they come up in late May, early June for SOAR, their student orientation. They register for classes. We'll sit down and talk with them then. A lot of them will come up for the spring game. We'll invite them up for the spring game and have them come stand on the sideline. And so we just try to keep the communication process moving in a real positive manner. But, you know, honestly, the big thing moving forward here is just to make sure they get applied for school, which 99% of them have, find a roommate. That's important to them. And just keep moving the process forward, stay with them academically, because there is a few of them that have to pass an English or a math class to be eligible. And so you just keep reminding them of that stuff.
You talk about make sure you focus on some, I'm sure, are playing basketball now. Some will have track and field.
Sure.
How important are other sports, these winter and spring sports, to just keeping them active?
Yeah, I'm still a guy that really believes in multiple sports. I think it's hurting kids right now. So many people are trying to specialize at a young age, and my opinion on that is that's foolish. You know, we like to see kids compete year-round. We love kids that wrestle. I mean, if we find a kid that's a wrestler and he's a good football player, to us, it's a no-brainer. Flip that over to the track, you know. It's great for one of these kids to run to a Nike combine, and Nike tell you he runs a 4 or 5, but when you pull up the old Missouri State track stuff and, you know, you're seeing legitimate track times on there and throwing, you know. We always look at throwers. If we're throwing a kid, kid's throwing mid-50s or – you know, throwing 180 in the discus, that to us, that's a sign of power, you know, in the hips and natural athleticism. And so we really encourage the kids to play multiple sports and do it and have fun doing it.
What are some of the other advantages that they have by playing the multiple sports besides maybe just the athletic side of it? Is just staying involved and doing things in school important to them too when you look at that?
Yeah, I think it keeps them involved in that team atmosphere. I think it keeps them, in my opinion, any time a kid's involved with a higher calling than himself, you know, he's more apt to do things right socially. You know, when nobody's looking, he's more apt to do things right in the classroom. And so the guys I worry about are the guys that just play football, you know, that go into that weight room every day. Well, that's great, but they're really not around teammates. And there's just, you know, to me, there's so much for these kids that influences these kids in a negative way anymore. It's something that is concerning right now.
With your program, you guys, obviously with these lists, typically you can plan on these being red shirts their first year in. Is this full list that way, or do you see some of these guys maybe playing next
year? Most likely. You know, I know I'm not going to go through them, but I know four to five of them were, you know, the deal breaker was like, we will come to Northwest Missouri State if you promise that I'll redshirt. Sure. You know, those are easy. Mm-hmm. A few of the kids are like, Coach, you know, I'd like to play that first year if I can. What we do is we bring them in, and it's about about 10 practices. You know, it's really all we have to evaluate them before we have to start kind of breaking up into scout teams and getting ready for our first opponent. So they get about 10 days to impress the coach. And, you know, as a coach, if we don't feel they're clearly better than a kid on our team, right now, or they're not going to we're not going to waste a red shirt on a kid just to run down on punt. So if we can't see him factoring into at least three special teams and like a DB playing in a nickel package or playing in a dime package, we're going to redshirt him. So it's just hard to say, but yeah, that the idea is to redshirt him and get him bigger, faster, stronger.
And that redshirt year is important, I think, probably not only what they do on the practice field, but just acclimating themselves to a new climate and coming into a college atmosphere.
It is. I use that word all the time, John, to acclimate, to acclimate socially, to understand that, you know, mom and dad aren't around. They're going to make choices every day, and they quite honestly have a chance to make bad decisions. And so, you know, you try to get them to understand that one. You get them to understand time management skills, because there's kids that are great students that have bad time management skills. And so, you know, Ashley and her folks up in the TDC work with all our incoming freshmen to teach them time management skills. But if they can do those two things, you know, we talk about learning how to be a Bearcat. If they can learn how to be a Bearcat in the first year doing those two things, learn Joe's culture, and then our older kids teach them our culture on, okay, it's not okay to jog to the football, you know, it's not okay to be on time, it's not okay to not finish your sets. If we can teach them that stuff, those three things in the first year, then they got a chance to get off on a good start.
That seems like another area where the family plays into, yeah, and you know, the guys who have been here teaching them that culture, and that really plays a major role in that.
It does. It's something we challenge our kids on, our older kids. And you know, we for so many years here have talked about legacy. You know, and I can remember being a senior, like, you know, as a senior, you always want to win a national championship and but what we've always been about, and, you know, Mel brought this here, is that we have always worried about everybody in the program, not just, you know, the O-line, worrying about the O-line. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, to me, it's just as important. And I met with our kids last week, our first meeting back, and you know, I told our seniors, I just said, you know, I want you to hear this from me. Your legacy is not going to be defined if whether you win a national championship in 2016. Because we know, you know, what everybody expects, and that's okay. But, you know, we wanted to reiterate to them, most of your legacy in our mind as coaches is going to be how you treat the new class of freshmen. Are you getting the sophomores to understand what we're doing? Are you working with the young kids? Are you teaching them right and wrong? Are you setting examples for them? And so, again, I think, you know, I get that question a lot. I think that's one of the things, at least top five things in our program that make us special.
And that's probably one of the reasons you have such success on the road, even with a group that just likes being together.
They do. Our kids care about each other. I think that's very apparent with what's happened here in the last few days. I think our kids genuinely love each other. They love Northwest Missouri State, and they love Maryville. And, again, it's not like that everywhere.
Everybody assumed right after the national championship game, maybe you guys, coaching staff and the rest, would get a little bit of a break. Obviously, recruiting keeps that from happening. guys get a little bit of a break now? Now that signing day is over?
We will, yeah. We'll take a little bit of a break. Not a lot. You know, we'll be – the NCAA passed some rules last couple weeks ago, so we can actually do some things with the kids now for a couple hours a week, and where you can use a football and not be in helmet and shoulder pads. And so we were kind of excited about that. I don't know if Lori was excited about it, but we were kind of excited about it. So we're going to actually start doing that stuff next week. We start winter conditioning next week. And, you know, I know the kids are really looking forward to going out in the field at night and running when it's cold out and snowy. And I know Joe's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde down there. He's just getting excited. And I was down there yesterday, and he's ordering all this new equipment, and we're going to do this. And so they've started to feel him a little bit. They're going to feel Joe Quinn a lot next week. And then spring ball starts March 3rd. We're right back in it, and we're excited to get going.
Boy, it's not very far off, is it?
No, it's not. It's college. It's hard for people to understand. College football is year-round. It really is. It's 365 days. And, you know, for me, I love it. I enjoy – every coach is different, but I enjoy – the most fun of my job is being with the kids, you know, and obviously in the season, but even in the off season. But I enjoy recruiting. I enjoy spring football. I enjoy meeting with the kids. Obviously, I enjoy fall a lot, being outside at practice. But it never ends. If you want to be successful, it better never end.
It seems like that's something that spills over your entire coaching staff, too.
Yeah, it does. We the thing we do a good job of is I think our staff does – what we will literally do this month, okay, we're watching cut-ups right now, our own cut-ups from the fall. We look at that. Okay, is there things – did we like bend hero? It's a play we run, you know. We weren't very good at it last year. Completion percentage was bad. Is it – okay, are we teaching it wrong? Is it not fit with everything else we're doing? So we make a lot of decisions on X's and O's in the month of February. We just got done breaking down five NFL teams offensively and defensively. You know, we have access to that film, and so that's done. It's broken down. So what we'll do is start going through that film and looking for, you know, plays, formations. You know, is there things that the New England Patriots are doing that we can do, you know, literally. I mean, we're looking for formations and trying to steal ideas from those folks. So that's really February. We spend a ton of time on X's and O's in February while the kids are in the weight room, you know. And then when March gets here, bam, ready for spring football.
When you talk about game film, one thing that Matt and I have talked about a number of times during the broadcast is just how well the coaching staff game plans. And it seems like when you get out onto the field, there's nothing that – or not many surprises anyway that other teams throw at you. Just kind of talk about what you guys do in game filming and planning like that and the work you put in.
Yeah. I think it starts with – I think all our coaches do a great job of getting to know the players. Because to me, if you're going to be good at X's and O's, you got to know your kids and know what they're good at and know what they're not good at. So I think our guys do a great job of evaluating. That's one. Number two, we're not afraid to try new things. You know, we'll go into spring football and, you know, Rich may have 10 new blitzes, or may new coverages, some new fronts. Now, we may not run them when fall gets here because he didn't like them offensively, you know. We're putting together packages, pass routes, new things, new screens. We're going to try it. You know, we believe in trying new things. And for us, I think we've always said, like, we know pretty quickly if, like, yeah, that's going to help us. You know, I remember we put in a spot screen last year, and it was new. And, I mean, I think we averaged 13 yards of play on it this year. But, I mean, I can tell you within 3 days of running that last spring, we were all like, you know, we got us something there. Now it helps when you're throwing that thing out there to Sean Bain and some guys like that. But so we're not afraid to try new things and to try to experiment. And then, you know, we're just always trying to get better. I think we do a good job of powwowing with other staffs, sharing cut-ups with other staffs, and, you know, and trying to find ways to get better. And I think that really filters down to our young coaches and our kids too.
You've touched on some of the things you work on in spring ball. Just generally, what do you want to get accomplished in spring ball? What do you want to see come out of that time?
Yeah, that's a great question because it changes each year. And so we actually met this morning offensively, and we put together offensive goals. And so we did it by position. You know, there's things that I want to get done at the O-line. Charlie wants to get done at quarterbacks, Joel receivers, Ryan, Janet tight ends, running backs. And then what we'll do is we'll finalize kind of Friday what our overall offensive goals are going to be. Defense is doing the same thing. We'll get together Friday. And from offense, defense, and special teams, then we'll make up a master spring goal board of what we want to accomplish in spring. Now, you always have carryover, but it does vary from year to year based on what you have, what you don't have, and things like that.
Well, we've talked about 28 athletes that have signed national letters of intent at the high school level to come into the Bearcat program. Is this pretty much wrap up everything, or will there be any others out there that you might be bringing in a
little
later?
Yeah, we're gonna release here shortly, I think, a couple of young men that have already committed to walk on, have applied, have been accepted to Northwest Missouri State. So we'll release that a little bit here. Moving forward, the walk-on process for us is we have – basically once a week we'll invite some kids up, being very selective right now, but we just have so many kids. It's just, you know, it's, and that's one of the hard things, you know, kids, well, you know, I want to come walk on. It's just not that easy anymore because we have so many kids. And so we're being very selective moving forward here. Might take a few more, John, but that will be, you know, between now and March. We got a couple kids we like for walk-ons, but they're currently basketball or wrestling. And so if we take any more kids, it'll be some walk-on kids, and it'll be, you know, it could be next week as late into, you know, March, April, when they get finished with stuff.
It seems like the importance of having that many players now kind of showed this year, because you look at one class that you signed about 5 years ago. You had a senior class that was in single digits once it got down to it. So you kind of have to start with a wide number, because – Not everybody's going to stick.
No, it doesn't. Football, college football's, there's so many things that factor into that. You know, sometimes you lose kids for grades. We don't have a lot of those kids, but it always goes back. I'm always firm on having great walk-ons. You know, I was a walk-on. Our history is enriched with great players that walked on. I mean, I could go through them. You know, Kevin Berg this year, All-American walk. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So we believe in that walk-on program very, very strongly. To me, that's how you develop depth. To me, as a coaching staff or a program, it's easy to have a group and say, well, you know, it's easy to coach the good players. You know what I mean? That's easy to coach the good players. It's hard to develop a kid that maybe doesn't have a ton of athleticism. But, it goes back to this year, and I've said it. What made me so proud standing on that podium in Kansas City, you know, looking at our crowd, seeing that trophy, what made me so proud this year is so how many kids we had on this team this year that were overachievers, you know. Just, and that's a testament to our coaching staff and Joe of never quitting on a kid. You know, we demand each kid's best every day. We don't care if he's a good athlete or bad athlete. And, you know, if a kid's not a great athlete, we don't let him make excuses for, you know, IAO, improvise, adapt, overcome, find a way to win, find a way to play, find a way to get on the field. And I think that's another thing that makes us special.
And again, as we wrap things up, just overall, again, characterize the type of recruiting class you've got coming in here.
A great one, John. You know, I always laugh. I don't know who we – you ever, how many of these things are going on today? Have you ever heard a coach tell you he had a bad signing class? So I think I do a good job. Even you guys never hear me sit up here and say, well, this kid's going to be a 4-year star. I won't do that. There's so many facts, but I feel good about this class because they're good students. We feel like they're good people. Feel like we got a big upside, a lot of big frames. Feel like we've good team speed in there. Really good team speed, and I think that's important in college football too. So overall, I just feel like it was another great year, another great class. Excited.
Just kind of re-energizes you, doesn't it?
It does. It does. To me, today is about, okay, 2016's here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can get back from Christmas break and school starts, and we're at the convention, and that probably should be, you know, when you move on. I'm just telling you honestly, for me personally, today is when it really hits me in the mouth that, okay, 2016's here now, so let's we're going to go eat some lunch up at Carson's, and then it's, you know, moving on.
All right. Well, Adam, thanks a lot for your time for this past hour. And, again, it looks like you got a great group of kids coming in.
It is. Thank you, guys.
All right. Again, we've been talking with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell, along with Matt Gorder. I'm John Coffey, and this is our recruiting class special here on KXCV KRNW. Stay tuned. We've got the coaches show coming up tonight at Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We'll be talking basketball and baseball tonight during the show that starts at 6 o'clock, goes from 6 to 7 this evening from Carson's in downtown Maryville. For everyone here at the athletic offices on the Northwest Missouri State campus, I'm John Coffey. Let's go back to the KXCV KRNW studios.